This Week and Next, we focus on the five films nominated for Best Feature-Length Documentary at the Oscars today. Inside Job, an investigation into Wall Street's culture of greed and corruption that inflated the financial bubble that burst in 2008. Charles Ferguson spoke with bankers, economists, journalists, former and current officials, and with Wall Street Madam Kristen Davis, who said she had about 10,000 clients during the financial boom.
What fraction were from Wall Street?
Of the higher-end clients, probably 40 to 50%.
And were all the major Wall Street firms represented? Goldman Sachs?
Lehman Brothers. Yeah, they're all in there.
Morgan Stanley was a little less of that. I think Goldman was pretty big with that.
A lot of clients would call me and say, can you get me a Lamborghini for the night for the girl? These guys were spending corporate money. I had many black cards from, you know, the various financial firms.
What's happening is services are being charged to computer repair.
Trading research, you know, consulting for market compliance. I just usually gave them a piece of letterhead and said, make your own invoice.
So this pattern of behavior you think extends to the senior management of the firm?
Absolutely does. Yeah, I know for a fact that it does. It extends to the very top.
If you're an economist, if you work in the financial sector and you've seen the film, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Charles Ferguson co-wrote, produced, and directed Inside Job. He joins us from a studio in New York, and congratulations on the nomination.
Thank you, sir.
And this is your second nomination. You're also shortlisted for the Iraq War documentary, No End in Sight. I wonder, how is it different this time?
Well, I guess I think that I know a little bit more about the film industry and how it works, and so I'm seeing a little bit more of the internal machinery, I guess, than I did the first time. But it's still quite remarkable and still quite surprising experience.
Does an Oscar nomination make it easier to make another film?
Let's hope so, because I love making movies.
Both of these films are about process. They're ambitious undertakings. Why, after the Iraq War, did you decide to take on the financial industry?
Well, it seemed irresistible. I was thinking about what film to try to make next. I developed a number of proposals, actually. But when gigantic financial institutions began collapsing on approximately a weekly basis, and then, of course, in September of 2008 on practically a daily basis, it seemed that there was something very important here. And I had a prior academic life that had trained me in some of the relevant disciplines, and, you know, it just seemed like a very important thing that I thought that I could do well.
You mentioned your prior academic life. One of the most interesting parts of the film, I think, is the conflict of interest you raise amongst a lot of academics, people who teach economics at the same time they serve on boards of directors of large corporations and write articles for various publications where they don't reveal that they're being paid for that.
Yes. And in fact, I knew about that from my academic life. This problem started when around the time that I was a graduate student and a postdoc in political science. The Law and Economics Consulting Group, for example, was founded in 1988. It's now a $350 million a year publicly held firm. It was founded by a group of professors at the University of California, Berkeley, who had extensive public policy, government policy involvements at the same time as they were being paid enormous sums of money to advocate regulatory and policy positions on behalf of companies and industries.
And you also begin your film with, a sort of a set piece on Iceland, of course, the small nation that got heavily involved in the financial industry after privatization of its banks and went crashing down and is still suffering the consequences.
Yes, and still very much suffering the consequences. Unemployment in Iceland had never exceeded 3.5% during the entire post-war period. It's now, I believe, about 14, and the country has very, very serious financial problems, and it's a tragedy because it's a beautiful place. I was very, very struck by the landscape and the people when I was there, when I was conducting research and interviewing there. It's a remarkable, beautiful place, and a small number of people, you know, less than 100 people in the government and the banking system destroyed this country.
Yet an awful lot of people in Iceland thought it was a really good idea, and they made good money at the time, too. You talk about systems and governments and individuals and banks and deregulation and privatization as being responsible. Aren't individuals responsible for what they do, too?
Sure, of course. There's some degree of individual responsibility in any bubble, in any large-scale financial phenomenon, but I don't think that's really the main story. You know, I don't think that American culture and the American population suddenly decided, you know, 200 million people decided to go crazy simultaneously beginning in 2001. That's not what happened. What happened was a series of regulatory, political, policy, business changes that made it possible for a relatively small number of people, a few thousand, at most a few tens of thousands of people, to create a gigantic bubble and in effect, a national and even global level Ponzi scheme, as in fact Martin Wolf, the chief economic commentator of the Financial Times, says in the film. That's exactly what he called it.
Yet there were an awful lot of people who took out loans that seemed too good to be true. Should not they have known about that?
Well, in some cases, people did do that, yes. So in many cases, people were – Americans were consuming when they should not have been. But again, I don't think that that's the principal story. You know, if you wanted or needed to buy a house anytime between 2001 and 2006 – then you didn't have any choice about what had happened to housing prices. You know, you had to buy your house, and there was an enormous amount of fraud and deceit in the lending industry during this time. So people often were given loans that were far more expensive and far more dangerous in their terms than they realized, and then they could have afforded. Many people who could have afforded high-quality fixed-rate prime loans were steered into far more expensive loans, which then, of course, became more difficult for them to repay when housing prices declined, when they lost their jobs. It's really quite a scandal.
And that's something that is continuing today. Here's an email we have from Warren in San Francisco. I've seen Inside Job twice and have urged many others to see it. The collusion between Wall Street and Washington, both the executive and legislative branch in both parties, is appalling. Even more appalling is the lack of new safeguards that would prevent such collusion bringing down the global economy again. The former Wall Street executives currently in power have a vested interest in not establishing safeguards as the European Union has done. And one of the points you make in the film is that some of those you say were involved in inflating the bubble are now in charge in the Obama administration as well.
Yes, it's an extremely disturbing phenomenon. The Obama administration's economic and regulatory team has been dominated by people who had significant roles in causing this crisis and in some cases who profited from it enormously. And several of them conducted themselves during the bubble in extraordinarily unethical ways. And there are even a few people in the administration, you know, where there's some question as to whether perhaps they might deserve to be in prison. It's a very, very distressing, disturbing phenomenon, particularly for many of us, and I include myself, who had hoped, based on what he said during his campaign, that Mr. Obama would try and address these problems in a serious way.
One of the people you portray in your film as, I guess, one of the good guys, if broadly speaking, is Barney Frank, the congressman from Massachusetts, the former chairman of the Banking Committee. And yet he was also deeply involved in support for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two federal mortgage companies or federally backed mortgage companies that, well, proved to be such very poor risks.
Yes, that's a fair criticism. You know, in a two-hour film, less than two-hour film, you can't put in everything, unfortunately. And While on a net basis overall, I think that Barney Frank has been a force for good in the national debate about these questions, it is absolutely right that he gave somewhat more support to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and to their rather questionable leaders than was appropriate and to some extent contributed to our problems. However, I should say that there's a narrative from some either ideologically conservative or in some cases partisan Republican circles that Fannie and Freddie caused the bubble and the crisis, and that if they hadn't existed, or if they hadn't had their federal guarantees, or if they hadn't been supported by the Democratic Party, or you know something like that, that this wouldn't have happened. And that is absolutely not true. It's you know arithmetically, factually, demonstrably not true. They were followers, not leaders, and during a significant fraction of the relevant period, the Republicans controlled not only the White House but also both houses of Congress. So it is true that Barney Frank had, in some cases, in some ways, something to do with supporting Fannie and Freddie in ways that weren't good for the country. But it's not the case that you know that's where the core of responsibility for this lies.
Filmmaker Charles Ferguson. Inside Job comes out on DVD March 8th. You can find a link to the trailer at our website. Go to npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Daniel on the line. Daniel with us in Oakland.
Yes. Great movie. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I am an economist by training, graduated from Berkeley, the University of Chicago, and did graduate research at Harvard. And I thought the movie was well depicted. I'm also a money manager for private clients. And I think one of the things that I would have enjoyed to have seen in the movie is the ongoing battle of ideas between free market fundamentalism and some of the modern Keynesians, which really pretty much say that, you know, there's a role for government, there's a role for the referee in this game. And I think the main players in this fiasco were pretty much free market evangelists, and not to say that you know all of the market-based approaches are bad and that there isn't a role for markets, there are. But I think you know the movie was great in going into the weeds, but I think at a broader level there is a place for the ongoing battle of ideas, especially now as to what's happening all over the world where you know now there are more countries that are embracing free market ideas and so forth. And so we could prevent a lot of damage outside of the U.S. if we just sort of highlight and elucidate, if you will, this ongoing battle of ideas. But other than that, that is my comment. And I really wish, you know, this was a film that that the broader universe can see in terms of what the implications are if we just let markets run amok alone by themselves.
Charles Ferguson?
Well, tempting though it is for somebody like me who, you know, is a former certified policy wonk and whose PhD thesis advisor was an economist by training, I just didn't think that a film like this was the place for abstract academic debate about, you know, economic models. I think that the film makes the point through the facts that it examines and the people and situations it examines. I think it makes the point very, very clearly and convincingly that this crisis completely discredited the hardcore, extreme, laissez-faire, free markets always get everything right version of economic theory, and several of the proponents of that theory are in the film. You know, Alan Greenspan is in the film, and his mistakes are in the film too.
Oh. And do you think that there's a role for, you know, the lessons learned here in the United States and for other emerging developing economies as they're developing their capital markets? I mean, for many places around the world, they are very much in pre-Glass-Steagall sort of wild, wild west mode right now in terms of how capital's flowing around in their countries. And So I just think that there's a place for that. And that, you know, I mean, your movie was phenomenal.
I just have to say, Glass-Steagall, a regulatory law that was overturned in the late 90s, and that plays a role in the film, but we're not going to get that far into the weeds. But briefly, if you would, Charles Ferguson.
Well, actually, in our travels and research for the film, I found that a number of so-called developing countries were well ahead of us in the ways that they understood that capital markets had to be regulated. And China, for example, regarded at least until recently by many economists as less developed and a nation that we had to give our mature economic advice to. China avoided all of this. And I found that many people in Asia, many economists and regulators, and government officials in Asia now say in a quite convincing and assertive way that in their view, the American economic model is no longer something that they have to look up to or that they think, you know, is necessarily correct or has all sorts of deep lessons to impart to them.
Well, I'm talking of a housing bubble in China now. But anyway, that's beside the point. Charles Ferguson, good luck on Oscar night.
Thank you very much.
Charles Ferguson joined us from New York. His Academy Award-winning documentary film is called Inside Job. It comes out on DVD March 8th. We're going to continue our conversations with Academy Award-nominated filmmakers in the feature-length documentary category next week on Talk of the Nation. Join us for that. I'm Neil Conan. It is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.